Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode
four? This is four!
We're to that point in the week that I'm starting to lose count. Episode four of E4 2016. And this is the episode that was going to be Nintendo that's no longer Nintendo.
Yeah, because we don't know what they're doing.
We don't know what they're doing.
No, and that's we have a shame. No idea.
We're going to give them another day to try to figure it out. So we're going to do Nintendo tomorrow. A little schedule update if you are wanting to listen on the live feed. We are not going to do an 11 o'clock show tomorrow like we had originally planned because that's when Nintendo is doing more stuff.
Right.
So we're going to watch that and see what happens. So we have Nintendo scheduled for 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We'll figure we'll have enough to talk about. And if not, we'll do like 20 minutes on Nintendo and call it good. And then we'll do like a 7 o'clock show tomorrow night. That's going to be lots of other games that we saw today, yesterday, tomorrow, all that stuff. So
And there's been lots of good stuff.
There's been lots and lots of stuff, and so it'll be fun. We'll get to more. There's lots of stuff out there we haven't seen yet, and so we'll spend some time watching some videos and getting caught up on all that stuff. This show, though, is going to be Ubisoft, which was a great show. We'll talk about that. And the PC show brought to you by PC Gamer and AMD, which was
cool.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
It was a little weird. It was a lot of games that we don't play, and so that was interesting. A lot of, like, kind of niche games that have a very dedicated audience.
You know what it is? It's all stuff that is, like, with the exception of the Cliffy B title, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's all stuff you're not going to find on, you got to look for these games.
Yeah.
Like, they're not on retail shelves.
Right. If you don't know them, you're probably never going to find them. Unless it's something like this, where they kind of show it off. And you go, oh, that's my cup of tea. But like MOBAs. MOBAs are not my thing. And so I don't know what MOBAs are out there, apparently.
Right.
I know League of Legends.
Yeah.
There's others. Defense of the Ancients, right? That's a MOBA, right? There's another one that they talked about that I don't remember the name of. But those aren't my thing. I don't really follow that world very closely. And so... yeah, there was a lot of those kind of games that are not my thing that they talked about. And so, yeah, we'll go through some of that. But the Ubi conference was a great. So before we do that, we have to give, like, huge props to our first Patreon supporter.
Yeah!
It's crazy. Somebody already came through to support us on Patreon, and we love that. And it's one of our favorite human beings who's been listening to the show for almost as long as we've been doing this show.
Yeah.
He's been here from nearly the beginning.
When we started, he was like, I don't know, 12?
Yeah, I don't know. He was this like little teenager that cursed all the time.
And now he's a freaking adult, and he curses all the time.
Some things never change. And so, we love the guy, though. It's Cabbage, our boy Cabbage, who's been around forever. So we thank you, Cabbage, for supporting us, and we'll be saying your name a lot. Not that we don't already say your name a lot, but it's fun to say Cabbage on the air as relating to a person.
Let me just ask you this, because I haven't looked, but when under supporters, does it say the Cabbage?
It does not.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he uses his name, which I don't know. At some point, he may want to outgrow the Cabbage moniker. Maybe not.
I don't think that's going to happen, like, ever. Like, at this point, I don't care what he wants because he's the Cabbage.
Yeah, he's always going to be Cabbage. And so you will hear Cabbage's name on the podcast for a long time in the future because he's supporting us and we love it. So thank you, Cabbage. If you are interested in also supporting us on Patreon and want us to talk about you on the podcast, we will. You get all kinds of other cool stuff with that, too.
Now, because of the Cabbage, we are now committed to do what we said we would do on the Patreon.
Yes.
Which means the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, especially, is going to happen.
Which is great, because Cabbage was one of the people that participated in the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable back in the day.
Right.
Like, he knows the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, and so that's great. And so, if you want to participate in the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable with Jamie and myself and now Cabbage, you can do that. Go by GamingUncensored.com, click on the Patreon link over there on the right-hand side, right near the top of the page. And we would love to chat with you. And so we're going to have a monthly chat about video games with you guys.
And it's
going to
be fabulous.
Yeah. I'm super pumped about it.
That's the thing. Awesome. That, like, some of those other, like, Patreon stuff that we saw, the perks that we had were like, hey, we don't want to do that. We don't want to send you stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But sitting around with guys that listen to the show, we got girls that listen to the show.
Yes.
Talking about video games, that's fun for us.
Yes.
So yes. I'm all about that.
Me too. I'm pretty pumped. And so, I'll get started soon. And so we would love more people to be participating in that. Or if you're interested in some of the other things on the Patreon page, go check those out. Participate, be involved. And I'm excited. It's fun. That's a cool thing. And so,
yes.
Thanks again, Cabbage, for being the first. We appreciate that. So, we should talk about games.
We before we do that, we should mention we're probably going to add something to the Patreon because you said something that made me really laugh.
Yeah, we're probably not going to add that to the Patreon.
Oh, come on, man. That's great.
It is great.
For like $2. Come on.
My only worry is getting myself in a little bit of trouble with other outstanding things. And so I like it other than that fact. And so
other outstanding things?
There's other outstanding things. So.
Like, your wife?
Well, not my life.
Oh,
that part's good. But money stuff and things like that. So
yeah. Okay.
I apologize. That little tease. Maybe in the future, once things are figured out, there it'd be fine. But
yeah, I didn't think it. I apologize. Nope.
I had a good time freaking out Jamie a little while ago.
That was you did. You freaked me out that one. Don't do that again.
If you want to be freaked out by me as well, we may have a chance for you to do that in the future. So, anyway, this is a good time. We're having fun. We're playing games. We're watching stuff about games. We're hanging out.
And we're not drinking yet, but we will be.
Yeah, that's happening soon. So, it'll be even more fun. So
We haven't ever done that. Like, that's fun.
No, we haven't done that together ever. That'll be fun. We'll see what happens. Should be a good time.
We might turn on the live stream about 11 o'clock tonight. It might be a lot of fun.
Terrifying, but fun. So
yeah.
We should talk about games. Ubisoft had a press conference, and it was kind of awesome. Like, Ubisoft has just turned into a press conference machine.
Can I I can't believe I'm about to say this because I've eaten crow once today already.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it again.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoy Aisha Tyler.
I do too.
Like, she's really good.
She used to not be my cup of tea on there, but
that first year was, like, really bad.
Yeah.
Like, really bad. And then, like, the last couple of years, she just rocks it.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a good time and it's fun and she's like the least scripted person that does any of the press conferences and
she's
fantastic.
Legitimately funny.
Yeah,
like she's quick, has a good sense of humor, sometimes terribly awkward, off-putting sense of humor,
and she does it on purpose.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
she's like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's great. And so she's grown on me too. I really enjoy that. And like you said, when she hosted for the first time, we were both like, what the crap is this? And now it's like E3 is an E3 without Aisha Tyler.
Well, like, I'm looking around going, why can't they get people like her?
Yeah.
I mean, there are other comedians out there that would probably be willing to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we know there's plenty of people that play games that are also famous. So, yeah. I don't know, but Aisha Tyler at this point does a pretty killer job. So she was back doing UB as you would expect at this point, and they started with Just Dance and a bunch of people dancing, and it was dancing.
Yes.
With like a giraffe on stage and other crazy. It was absurd. But dancing to a Queen song, which was cool. We did Queen, so at least you got us on the music part of it. And then they referenced NX in the conference, which I thought was interesting.
Yes, it
nobody is. Else has really talked about Nintendo. UB mentioned NX with Just Dance, which was cool. So we'll see that in the future. And then they got into games that we actually care about. Yes. Because we don't care about Just Dance. Neither one of us dance. One of us has a good excuse for that.
I would.
Right.
If I had the wheels.
Right.
So to speak.
You would if you had the ability. I have the ability, and I will not. not even a little bit interested in that. So, we're not dancing.
Maybe we could put a video of that on Patreon. Will people wait for that to watch Tommy bust a move?
It would have to be a lot of money.
Like, we can do it.
I don't even know what that figure is.
$1,000. $1,000, and I will make him dance. $1,000.
I'm not committing to anything. You say what you want. Anyway, after Just Dance, we got New Ghost Recon. And New Ghost Recon looks awesome.
Yes.
they showed us gameplay. It's called Wildlands, by the way, Ghost Recon Wildlands. And it's big open world like everything is at this point. It reminded me a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5. The look and the environment and that kind of stuff has a feel like Metal Gear Solid 5. They did a big chunk of gameplay. This whole mission with four guys, co-op and tactical and... it kind of all fell apart and turned into this crazy, like, outrun them, gun them down, get a helicopter, fly out of there craziness. And it's beautiful. Like, literally at one point, I was convinced it was live action. I was like, it is so weird that they're showing live action in this in this video. And then I realized it wasn't live action. And, like, that... legitimately,
that freaked you out.
Right. Like, I've had those moments of, like, on Gran Turismo or something like that when I go, oh, wow, that almost looks real. I don't know that I've ever been convinced it was real and then had to go the other way. You know, like, I've been convinced it was fake but thought, that could be real. But I legitimately thought, wow, this is live action. Why are they doing live action? And then it zoomed in a little bit. I was like, that's not live action.
Yeah.
It's just really pretty. It's...
It is so pretty. If you haven't seen it yet, GameAnswers.com, go check that out. It's so pretty that we are strongly considering it for Game of the Show.
Yeah.
We got, before we saw that, we were like, it's Battlefield 1, hands down. And then we saw that and we like, okay, there's some competition.
Yeah.
And to right now... there might be a couple in the Sony show that are added to that, but right now those two are neck and neck.
I would throw Zelda into that mix, which we're going to talk about tomorrow.
We've seen about 2 minutes of that thing.
We saw a good chunk of gameplay on that.
But I mean, he was just sort of walking around hitting stuff. Like we don't know what else is there. But you're right. They showed like 20 minutes.
Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Which will be entertaining and also I think we'll make a good run, a good show of the Game of the Show is going to be interesting discussion this year. There's a lot of good software.
Yes.
Lots of good software. Ghost Recon is going to be in that conversation, without a doubt. The gameplay just looked awesome. Really fun. Again, it reminds me a ton of Metal Gear Solid, but polished. which is a big thing. So,
and the other thing that got me is I really normally don't like that stuff.
Sure,
like you're a big Ghost Recon guy.
Yeah,
same with Battlefield. Not really.
Yeah,
but I saw this and I'm like, yep, playing that.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're right. I'm a big Ghost Recon person. I've always liked that franchise. I've never been as big into Battlefield, but both of those games, obviously, this year have me very, very interested. And so we'll be checking them out, without a doubt. So that's where they really started. We're going to not consider Just Dance as a start. They really started with Ghost Recon, and it was phenomenal and showed a big chunk of it. That's coming March 2017, by the way. So less than a year out, and it's the... most ridiculously good looking game maybe I've seen at the show yet. It's really good. There's a lot of those. So there's a high bar for ridiculously good looking games. So after that, they announced a new South Park game, which has been in the works for a while. People have known about this, but we don't keep up with South Park games. So for us, it was new at least. And they brought out Matt and Trey to talk about it, which
they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
It's awesome. And Matt and Trey are very entertaining human beings, and they were great and funny and insightful, even a little bit. Not super insightful, but insightful a little bit, and so it's great. So the premise of the new South Park game is it takes place after the Stick of Truth. And apparently in the Stick of Truth, which is a game neither one of us has played, but apparently should.
We have to.
It's good, and this game looks great, and so, yeah. But anyway, the Stick of Truth, apparently at the end of it, you become, like, king. Like, you're the new kid that moves into South Park, and at the end of it, you become king, and you're wearing a crown. I don't understand. Right. I'm not going to pretend to understand. In the new game, which is called The Fractured But Whole, and that's important... The important phrasing in that, it is the word fractured, the word B-U-T, the word W-H-O-L-E, whole, fractured, but whole.
But no.
It's wonderful. And they make a point every time to make sure that they pronounce it as much like that as they can. Fractured, but whole. But whole. Every time.
But let me just say, because you said it, and I agree, we haven't played The Stick of Truth because I don't watch South Park, never have. You don't watch South Park. It's just, it hasn't ever been our thing. But the thing that now has us thinking, okay, we have to find a copy of The Stick of Truth, which, by the way, Narc, you sent us one. If you could send us another one, we'd really appreciate that. If you happen to have an extra copy of The Stick of Truth laying around. Because after seeing this, I laughed.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot because it was genuinely funny. And I can't play this around my nieces.
Right.
Can't play it around my parents.
No.
But it was genuinely, you can't play it around your wife.
No.
But it was genuinely funny, and I'm like, well, crap. If that's out there and it's that good and it's going to make me laugh out loud, and it will, I got to go back and play The Stick of Truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't laugh out loud a lot, especially during this kind of stuff, like at jokes. Like, it has to be pretty good. And I don't generally find South Park all that funny.
But that was funny.
That was hilarious. It was ridiculously funny. So I'm convinced. It looks absurd. It's still over the top. And there's a lot of humor that's not going to be my thing in it. But there's a lot of humor that I'm going to find really funny. And so, yeah, I think we're going to have to cave on the South Park thing and give it a try. And they did a really good job of presenting it and showing, you know, a trailer that was like super epic and it ends up being South Park and you're like, oh, that's funny. And then they showed, you know, like a backstory with like the kid from The Stick of Truth. I don't know, like if you get to name the kid or whatever.
I think you're just the new kid.
Yeah, Cartman talking
to
him.
That to me, that's what was so hilarious because apparently The Stick of Truth take place in one day. You know, they're playing a game and you end up being the king. And this is the next day, and it's a new game, and you're the loser. You're not the king anymore. And they're like, well, screw you. You don't have a superhero costume.
Right.
And he just keeps hanging out, and Cartman's like, oh, screw it. Here's a seat. No, not that seat. It's
well done.
Yeah.
It's very well done. And so we're going to have to play a South Park game and multiple South Park games now. So, but it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Genuinely looking forward to it. And the F word was very, very prominent in the UB press conference.
And yeah. And every other word.
Yeah. It didn't take long for South Park to use every word you can think of. And so it looks legitimately good. Which is something that's weird to me talking about VR or about South Park.
You know what? Those guys made a lot of money for a reason.
Yes.
Okay, they did. Because whether we like it or not, and at least as far as the show is concerned, we haven't ever.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, anyway... Now for VR, Yubi did show some VR. Yubi is very much on the Oculus bandwagon, apparently, because during the VR time, they brought out Palmer Luckey with some other people. But they showed off a game called Eagle Flight,
right?
Which you play as an eagle, which is cool,
yeah.
I guess. And it's like the version that they showed, I don't know if there's different game modes to it. What they showed was a capture the flag game mechanic that you have to capture a rabbit. There's a rabbit somewhere on the map, and you have to capture and return it to a nest. And there's two teams, and they're shooting. I don't know what an eagle shoots,
right.
But they're shooting at each other.
I don't know. But I have to say this. I saw this, and I'm like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Because it didn't look fun. Like, it was capture the flag, but it was crappy capture the flag.
Right.
And you said something that I think is absolutely key. I don't know if you were reading my mind. I don't know what you were thinking, but you were like, I know that doesn't look good, but trust me, put a headset on your head, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, this is from my five-minute experience, but for my small experience with Oculus, the immersion of the headset completely trumps what looks like lackluster graphics. And this is one of the reasons I'm not as worried about PlayStation VR after trying Oculus, is that even the kind of what I would consider low-quality visuals in Oculus are awesome. And so this is not photorealistic kind of visuals. This is much more
cartoony.
Yeah, cartoony and polygons, that kind of thing. The demo they showed took place in Paris, and so there's the Eiffel Tower and some other parts of Paris that you kind of fly through. And it was like a Paris after something apocalyptic had happened because it was overgrown and there weren't people. Whatever, I don't get it. But that's what you were seeing. But I'm confident with a VR headset on, it's 10 times more impressive visually.
Yeah,
and that's going to be the challenge for VR in some ways, is that it's just hard to show it off.
And I can't get my mind around that until I put it on my head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
you have to experience.
I saw it, and I'm like, I'm remembering it in my brain. And I'm like, no, that's crap.
Right.
But you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important that you get that experience. And then, you know, obviously when games start coming out on a more regular basis for VR, of having lots of experiences of seeing, you know, different styles and that kind of stuff, seeing what works. And there's going to be quite the kind of testing period with that. But I don't know that I'll play this game, like if it's like a $5 thing or kind of a freebie thing with Oculus or something like that. You know, like it's not a $50 or $60 game.
Right.
It's a little tack-on VR thing. But it was wonderfully entertaining watching eight people, I guess it was, with headsets on,
right,
sitting all in front of each other playing this game. It's more fun watching them than it was watching the screen, because they're moving around so much and looking around, and you just look dumb, but in the best way possible.
I'm curious, and you're right, we're gonna look like idiots. You and I both will look like idiots with these things on our heads. And the sexy sidekick will never, ever, ever let us live. Like, we'll never get by that.
Yeah. The brilliant thing about it, though, and I think this is really going to be true, when you have the headset on, you first of all,
you don't know
how ridiculous you look. But secondly, like, being in that different world, you kind of lose your inhibitions about it. Because, like, we talked about this on the show earlier, I am the most introverted person. Like, I am just, like, your very obvious, typical introvert. And I was standing in a Best Buy with people walking around. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Best Buy is pretty packed. And I'm like, I look like these dudes that are just like looking all over, like moving whatever.
Whoever's there, you don't, like, you don't care.
Right. Cause you don't see them. You're suddenly not aware of the world that's directly around you. And so, like, you just get into it. Like, it's just fun. Like, it's a good time being lost in that world. And so, yeah. I dug it a lot when I got to do it. I think things like this are going to be fun. And so I'm a believer that even at this game could be a good time. And it's probably not something I'm going to play, but it could be fun.
Yeah. And then, like we're trying to think of extra content for Patreon. You know what's going to go on the Patreon? I can tell you what's going to happen right now.
Watching us play VR.
Well, the initial was going to be you holding a camera watching me with the thing up my head going,
Yeah, you got to make a trip to Dallas. I don't know if they're still doing the demos in Dallas. You got to make a trip to Dallas sometime soon, and we could put that up there and take you to a Best Buy and strap it on
your
head.
There's got to be a few game developers in Dallas somewhere.
Yeah.
Chad's got to get us an appointment with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, they're working on it, by the way. I got to give Kevin props, because Kevin sent me an email and he's like, I got people. Are you at E3? And I'm like, no. And he's like, dang! Because they're actually listening to me when I rant.
That's a good thing.
They heard that we want to talk to somebody who does VR. So we're working on that.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that'll be the first major big extra content thing is me sitting in my chair with a stupid headset on my head, probably cursing because I'm scared to death.
Yeah. It'll be entertaining. It'll be a good time. So the next VR thing they showed off is something we do want to play. This actually looks pretty cool. It's VR version of Star Trek.
Yes.
Specifically, it's called Star Trek Bridge Crew, and it's a super weird premise. Because it's not like a game that you would think of with like Star Trek that you're like just jumping from planet to planet or whatever, watching the Enterprise or another starship or whatever. You are one of the roles of the actual
bridge crew
on a starship. And they showed it off with LeVar Burton, first of all, which was fantastic.
Because he wore a visor for 7 freaking years.
Yeah, it was great. Because Star Trek The Next Generation will always be my favorite Star Trek. That's Star Trek that I grew up on. I was too young for the original series. And I watched Deep Space Nine. It was cool. But I love The Next Generation. And so LeVar Burton is forever to me Star Trek even more than Reading
Rainbow. He's Geordi. That's who he is
to me. And then he's also the Reading Rainbow guy. Yeah. And he's also in Roots, which is not something we ever think about LeVar Burton for at this point or whatever. But like seeing him with the headset on, and then
Jerry Ryan,
and then the guy that played Riker.
What's his name?
I don't know. But it was young Riker or whatever. I don't know. But them three and somebody else, I didn't catch who the fourth person was in the room while they were playing it. But it was a video of those four people with Oculuses on, playing this game as different members of the bridge crew on a starship, and it was very interesting, like really cool.
It all
takes place inside the bridge of a starship, and so it's like each person has their assigned role and has to do whatever the engineer does or the captain does.
Like somebody's at a given console, somebody's at the weapon console. Yep. Somebody's at the helm.
And it was all with Oculus Touch. So it's all interactive in that world, which is really cool. And so a little bit more of VR controllers, which is something we haven't seen as much from Oculus.
But I'm going to tell you what got me. Okay? It's not the game. It's not that it's Star Trek. It's not that you're on the bridge. All of that is cool. But they brought LeVar Burton out for Aisha Tyler to talk to him, and they had a couch, and they had this nice little interview, and I think when Aisha is done being funny, she'll probably have a talk show, because she's really good.
She is good.
But they're talking, and Lamar was like, we've seen several people get trotted out on the stage and talk about various things, and they all look like they don't want to be there.
Right.
And he was like, this is like the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, he was genuinely excited. Like, I'm watching it going, I know they asked him to be here, but you can't fake this.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy had fun.
Yeah.
And from what you see in the video, they all had fun.
Yeah. It looked like it was legitimately a good time. And again, these are the only people that have even ever kind of actually been on a starship. Obviously, they've not really been on a starship.
Right.
But whatever authenticity is, these are the people that would most understand that.
Yes.
And they all dug it. They all thought it was super cool. And so I think it's super cool.
Yes.
You know, like I'm totally into it if they're totally into it. And I like Star Trek, and so that's awesome. And so, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that. Even though it looks like it's going to be very low action, not a whole lot of, like, you're not running and gunning or anything like that. It's sitting at a console and doing whatever you need to do.
But you know what? That's what I always wanted when I was a kid was, holy crap, there's Klingons out front. What do we do?
Right.
They're gonna fire shields up. That's what I always wanted.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be cool. I'm pumped about it. So, after that, we saw For Honor, which we saw just a little bit of last year.
Man, I love that guy.
They
The
developer.
The developer guy that looks like a Viking. And right. He's got that voice.
He's got that voice.
Like, he's so into what he's doing. Like, he's not your normal... he's not your normal developer dude that's just out there because that's what he's getting paid to do. That dude loves his stuff.
Yeah. No, that's completely fair. And he loves the game, and he was excited to talk about it, which is infectious. It's nice having that. The game itself, we saw much more of it. We saw a much longer kind of trailer, lead up, backstory, whatever you want to call it. And then a bunch of gameplay from the Viking perspective. So there's like a Viking and a samurai and a knight or whatever right. it is. And so we got to see it from the Viking perspective of this big, like, attack on the samurai's castle, whatever. I don't know.
Let me tell you about this game. I didn't want to play it last year. I didn't care.
Yep.
I'm not really interested. After seeing this, I'm like, yeah. Yep. I'll play. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Last year, I was completely unimpressed with it and thought, oh, it's another, like, weird medieval hack and slash that... there's a lot of those over history, maybe not as much recently,
right?
But just not something that piques my interest that much. And then seeing it this year, it looks really good.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I want to play it. That's coming in February. There's a sequel to the game called Grow Home. If you've ever played Grow Home, it was a PlayStation Network, PlayStation Plus free game several months ago. And so you may have it on your PlayStation if you download those. There's a sequel called Grow Up that's coming, and so Grow Home was kind of exploring this world where, like, you planted seeds and you bounce around all this stuff. Grow Up is the same kind of idea, except now it's taking it vertical, and so you, like, plant plants and stuff that grow, and then you're trying to get to, like, the moon from Earth, and so it's just all this vertical instead of horizontal exploration. At least that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
It's a game that I played and couldn't really get into. And so I'm not particularly excited about this one, but a lot of people really loved it. And so there's a fan base out there for it.
It's amazing how gaming, like everything else, you have taste.
Yes.
And I can understand why you weren't into that. I never in a million years thought I would be into the NBA 2K games as much as I am. I love basketball. I do. But like, we've been playing more NBA 2K in the last 2 days than we have anything else. We need to be playing Uncharted, but we keep firing up the basketball because it's fun. I can't understand. There's a zillion people out there. You were talking about them complaining because that's what's on PlayStation Network this month, and they're like, there's a ton of people out there that are like, crap, sports, I don't need this. We're having a blast, and I never really expected that.
Yeah, it's a really solid game, and it's fun. And so, yeah, always try it. Give a game a shot. If you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But give a game a shot because there could be some really good stuff out there. So this is one. I may give the new one a try too. The first one didn't capture me, but this one might, especially if they put it up on PlayStation Plus again.
Yeah.
Well, you got to lose at that point. It's great. So then we also saw Trials of the Blood Dragon, which
wow.
is a combination of the game Trials and then the guys that did Blood Dragon for Far Cry. And it's nuts. Like, that's the only way I can explain this thing is that it's just nuts. And there's a trailer at GamingUncensored.com on the Ubisoft Live blog if you want to see it. But it's just nuts, and it looks like a lot of fun being nuts. But it's just one of those crazy games. Like, that's a kind of trendy thing the past few years. It's just these overload, sensory overload kind of games. And this is in that vein, but looks really cool.
Yep.
Then we get our annual Assassin's Creed update. Not a game this year. They talked about the movie. There's the Assassin's Creed movie coming.
You know what? I was okay with that because I thought, surely, we're going to have another game.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that, which I was proud of.
Yeah. I don't care to see information about your movie during E3, personally. But I get why. And they have Michael Fassbender as the assassin. And that's pretty cool.
You know you're going to go watch that.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it looks pretty decent. I don't think it looks like the best movie of all time, but I like Assassin's Creed. And so, yeah, I'll definitely go see it. I didn't need to see it during E3.
Right.
But whatever. But that was a nice time for a little break. And then we come back to Watch Dogs, and Watch Dogs 2 looks really good.
Yeah. And I said to you, there's nothing like groundbreaking here.
Right.
It's more of the same, which is fine because we liked we like the original.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, it's pretty. It's pretty, but it's not like the other stuff that we've been talking about either. It's Watch Dogs, just like what Watch Dogs was.
Yeah.
The original. It's just more.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. It takes place in San Francisco this time, which is cool. So last one was in Chicago. This one's in San Francisco. We've got a new player character this time. There's drones. Lots of drones, which is fun. I'm kind of pumped about that. But yeah, otherwise, it's a lot of Watch Dogs, which was great. And we loved Watch Dogs, and so we'll probably love this as well. And you think, hey, that's a great place to end your press conference because Watch Dogs is a big deal. And it looks really good. And they didn't. And then they showed a new IP. And you're like, ooh, new IP. This is exciting.
Because normally when they do a new IP, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. And they have Guillermo come out to show it off.
Because that's what he does.
That's what he does. And it was a snowboarding game. But to be specific, snowboarding, skiing, base jumping, and parasailing, gliding, paragliding.
They did like 20 minutes on this
thing. It's called Steep. Doesn't look awful.
From a visual standpoint, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, like I've said many times before, I love mountains, and this is in like the Alps, and it's gorgeous.
Now, but think about this, okay? Stay with me, because I'm not going to play this game, except if we buy PlayStation VR.
Yes.
And this is on PlayStation VR.
Yes.
I'm all over it.
Yeah, it would be super cool in VR. I really hope they do that.
Like seriously, like all day.
Yeah. I think it looks cool and I'll play it. Either way, I'll play it. It's not what you end your show with.
No.
They should have announced that kind of in the middle and it would have been a lot cooler because you anticipate we've got a new IP. This is going to be a big deal. And like once upon a time, they did Watch Dogs as a new IP. You know, that like blew everybody away.
And then they showed the Division one year and it was like, wow.
Yeah, like
okay.
Those are the kind of things we expect. And then it's Steep, which again, doesn't look bad. But it's a very different kind of game. It was all about the social aspect of it and that kind of stuff. And it's, look, you can do this run and it'll track your line and then you can challenge your friends to do the same line. It's like, those are things.
And we talked about it in the earlier show. I don't care about my friends.
Right.
Like, no. I play games with you and that's like it.
And we're not ever going to do anything like that. And so it's just not our thing. It's just not something that appeals to us. And that's, that for people that appeals to, great. I think that it probably doesn't appeal to more people than it does appeal to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's more of a niche thing. So I think if they would have put that in the middle of the conference and they would have put Watch Dogs and finished with that, I think it would have been a stellar press conference. It was already a really good press conference. But it would have been a little bit better if they would have rearranged that. Just a little bit, I would have left a little bit more excited because it kind of ended on a down note.
I got to be honest, like, we talked about, we had Sony West showing how awesome that press conference was. I think Ubisoft's probably second. That's how good their press conference was.
It was really good. Yeah. It's them, maybe Bethesda.
Yeah.
And then EA, then Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to give Bethesda's nod this year because they were great, but they didn't have, it wasn't like last year where it was like, ooh, Fallout 4 and Doom.
It's really Wildlands, Ghost Recon versus, oh my goodness, what's the Bethesda game that I can never remember the name of? Dishonored.
Right.
So it's either like it's one of those two. Which one did you like fall in love with the demo more is probably what sways it, because I think those were probably the two best games that were shown in one of those. Honestly, I'm more looking forward to Dishonored.
Absolutely.
But Ghost Recon blew me away. Like I think they presented it better. I think it was awesome. Either way, they're gonna be phenomenal games, so we're gonna play them both. So that was the Ubi show. Ubi was pretty awesome. Then we went over to the PC show. The PC show was cool. It was a little weird because it was done in like a talk show format. So the guy who was hosting, I don't know who the guy is, PC gamer guy.
Day 9, I have no idea why he didn't use his actual name, but he literally walked out and said, I'm day 9, and I'm like,
I bet you are. Man, he had a hideous tie. That's what I remember from today. Yeah. He was good. He did a good job. A little bit too polished. It was kind of weird. It was very talk showy. He was like sitting behind a desk, and he had a couch, and it was like
what was strange was like I was like, okay, this would be what it would look like if somebody hosted a talk show in hell.
Yeah,
like this is what it would look like, and this is what it would sound like, and check out that tie because that's exactly what you would wear.
The tie was bad.
Hosting a talk show in hell.
He made a comment that the room reminded him of like Diablo 3 or something. We feel like these red stripes all over the walls or whatever. But it was cool. It was fun to watch this PC gaming focused event. The only problem was that the games that they showed off for the most part. Are games we don't get into.
Well, but here's where I give them props, because the reason it was cool was it was game. And then he'd have a little interview and then game.
Yeah.
And
no, they showed a lot.
Interview, and they showed a ton.
It was very specifically games, for the most part, with a few exceptions, but almost exclusively it was games that only work on the PC. Not only are they only PC games, but they only really work on the PC. The either community that's built around them, the modding influence that's part of it, or the gameplay. So things like MOBAs and real-time strategy games that just work a lot better on PC than they do on consoles. That was a lot of the focus. And props to them for that they're not competing with, oh, here, look at Battlefield, but on a PC, or look at whatever game
right,
is
also on
consoles.
Right, which is what I expected.
It was me, too. And it wasn't that. And like you said, I give them credit for that. Even if it's not completely our cup of tea, it was really cool to see. And I learned about some games that either I knew very little about or never heard of before. And so that was nice. And so some of the games, I'll go through a few of these, and we'll talk about a few that we do care more about. To start off with Dawn of War 3, which is in the Warhammer universe, which is something I've never really gotten into, but it's a big universe and lots of people are into that, and apparently they're good games, and so that's cool. A very short little teaser about a game called Oxygen Not Included, which is from the same dev that did Don't Starve and Mark of the Ninja, both of which are very highly regarded indie games, and so that's cool. Showed off a lot of Ark, which is a very like mod heavy game that only really can exist in that PC ecosystem, and it's super cool for that. And not again our thing, but super pretty, really really cool looking stuff. An indie game called Giant Cop.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Yeah,
I don't really understand it, but apparently there's a giant cop in this town.
You know what? I didn't understand it either, but it kind of makes me want to go find it.
It does.
So that I can, like,
I'm hoping that
it out.
Somebody has, like, a stage demo or some gameplay or something with it so we can see that. Then there was Mountain Blade, which is, like, a siege game and not really our thing.
No.
And then here's one that we kind of got into, a game called Lawbreakers.
Yeah.
Which is a Cliffy B game.
That was strange.
And Cliffy B came out during this PC gaming show. Like, Cliffy B, who's, like, come out for, like, Microsoft in the past or whatever, is out on this PC gaming show sitting on this couch. It's, like, it's kind of the same feeling as John Carmack, but not as disjointed, you know? That you're like, here's this guy that I see in my head as being, like, the star of the Microsoft show that's in the middle of this PC gaming show that's, like, nobody knows of, you know, like it was a very different kind of dynamic.
That's the thing with the PC gaming show. I mean, you had to look to find it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like IGN was covering it. Yeah. You weren't finding it on GameSpot. You had to know where you were going to find it. And when we saw it, I'm like we're looking at it. I'm like, hey, that kind of looks like Unreal. That's kind of cool. The guy comes back and he goes, Cliffy B. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. for sure.
And a guy like that, it was kind of like seeing Kojima today in the Sony conference. Like, he walks out, he doesn't really, it became obvious to me that he doesn't really need to work for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing the Gears of War thing anymore. That's not his thing.
Yep.
He's off doing his own thing, and it doesn't really matter.
And it's because, like, passion projects, which is super cool. Because, like, they don't need money. Like, they're doing all right, you know? And so they could do these, like, things that are.
And he's going to make a ton because that's going to sell.
Yeah. And I don't, it's not going to be Gears of War big, probably. It could be. I don't think so, but it'll be fun. So it's, like you said, it's got this very Unreal Tournament vibe, very, very fast. Lots of gravity manipulation stuff, which looks really fun.
Yeah.
So there's places where there's no gravity or less gravity. And that was always one of my favorite things about Unreal Tournament, about being able to tweak those things. Or
right.
My favorite level in Unreal Tournament was the one with the, like, three towers in space and you could jump forever. And
yeah.
I love that kind of gameplay. I loved Unreal Tournament. And so this is, yeah, right kind of in that world. And it looks a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Lawbreakers. Go by GamingUncensored.com and see the trailer for it. Then they talked about esports, and that's a really big deal. And talked about all this competitive stuff.
Everybody's talking about esports.
They are.
Everybody.
It's a big theme at E3 this year. And then a rep from AMD came out because AMD sponsored this show and talked about new graphics cards.
Not just a rep, the queen.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name? Something. Lucy?
No.
I'll have to look it up.
It was obvious. It was something simple, and I'm like, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
And then I forgot.
Lisa.
Lisa,
almost close.
Yeah.
Lucy. Lisa. Those are close. Lisa Chu? Sue? Came out and showed off new AMD cards. The what is it called? Polaris, right?
Right.
That's VR ready and is not break the bank expensive.
It's like $200.
Yeah. It's either, is it $199 or $299? It might be
$199.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Just straight up nuts. And so it's not going to be a GTX 1080. It's not going to be that level of stuff, but it's going to be good. It's VR ready and on a budget. That's
let me ask you something.
Awesome.
Okay. Cause I've run an AMD card.
Yep.
And I think they're great cards except for the driver.
Sure.
And they still have driver issues because Evie's running AMD and she's had all kinds of issues, drivers and that kind of stuff. But $200, that's
take
not
a chance.
That's not a bad budget.
And
they have Crossfire, so you buy two of them and
it could be a transition.
Right.
And so, like, if you're building a rig, pay $200 right now for that AMD card, and then in a year pay $300 for the GTX card when price comes down a little bit.
But
know?
here's my question to you, because you're budget guy. You're
right.
Like, you're the biggest budget guy I know.
Yes.
Would you purchase one of these for the price point and deal with the drivers, knowing that you could put them in Crossfire and have two of them for the price of
one,
not even one
mid-range
GTX?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I would try it out. Like, what do you got to lose, really? Like, if you hate it, sell it, you know? Like, you're not going to get probably everything back for it, but
no,
you get some money back for it. I think it's worth a shot.
So, the reason I'm asking is you're going to have to build a ring in the next 6 months.
Yeah, that's the plan. So, I'm seriously considering it. I have been an NVIDIA person forever. That price is hard to beat.
I know, but the only reason I'm not even thinking about it, because I've owned an AMD card.
Sure.
And they're all right.
This is also the other thing between you and me, is I still do more console gaming than I do PC gaming.
Yes.
I don't have to have my PC be top of the line, because I'm going to play more on consoles.
Right.
You play only PC, and so your PC has to be top of the line.
Right.
Like, you care a lot more about that. I can spread my money out a little bit. Yeah, I'm considering it. I'm considering the GTX probably 1070. Either one of those, I'm really interested in. And,
right.
And we'll see when it comes time to actually start putting stuff together. But yeah, I think it's cool. So, with that, they showed off Serious Sam VR, which we've never really been Serious Sam.
No,
people.
But it's a first person shooter.
And it's absurd, and it looks entertaining in VR. So I would try it out at least. So yeah, there's also Vampyr, which is a vampire themed game from the dev that did Life is Strange, which is one of the highest regarded indie games recently. I have it on my PC. I've played most of the way through the first episode. I think it's five episodes. It's an episodic thing, and it's riveting. It's really, really, really? Cool. It's
I might have to go get
it. Yeah, I would highly suggest if you haven't played it. It's the story of this like high school girl. I think we talked about it just a little bit on a show quite a while back. This high school girl that figures out that she can control time, essentially. Like, she can rewind time and make decisions differently or change the outcomes of certain events. And so it apparently gets really dark and really heavy and all this stuff that I haven't gotten to yet in the game. But it's really, really solid.
Was that a Humble Bundle? How'd you get that?
It was a Steam sale.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it is it's only on PC. They don't have a Mac version of it. And I play so much of my Steam library on Mac at this point.
Man, I have 3 games on my Mac, which I love on my Mac because they run so fast. The only thing that I don't like is I don't have the surround sound hooked up.
Sure.
But I would play, if I had the hard drive space, which I desperately need more hard drive space. But if I had the hard drive space, I'd play a ton of stuff on my Mac.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Yeah, I play a lot of stuff there. So, they showed Killing Floor 2.
Man,
it's terrifying.
It is, but I will never forget. Like, I'm a big fan of Killing Floor because, look, that guy was one of the first devs that I ever heard. You know, people complaining about Steam, this and that, and having problems, whatever. That guy is the first guy I ever heard that said, "Look, Steam paid my mortgage because they made it easy for me to get my game up there and out to a lot of people." And that has stuck with me for a long time.
Yeah.
Because that guy just said, "Look, Steam's what made this work. If we didn't have it, we'd be dead."
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. It's also coming in VR.
Right.
Nope. 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 Nope.
That's the look, I said last show that I will try Resident Evil in VR. Like, I won't try probably anything else, but I'll try that because I've been playing Resident Evil for, like, ever.
Killing Floor?
I'm not, because, like, there's Resident Evil screwed up, and then there's Killing Floor screwed up. And I'm like, twisted, God, I can't.
Gross game. Nope. Then there's a game called Tyranny from Obsidian, which Obsidian's a great developer. Tyranny, it looks kind of dungeon crawler something.
Right.
I don't know. Looks kind of cool. I'll try it. Observer, another horror game. This kind of psychological cyberpunk horror game.
I don't get that, but that's one that I would maybe
like to see more of. I don't think they said that one's in VR. That one could be one, if like you're a horror fan, that would be really cool in VR, because it's a lot of like the psychological aspect.
Yeah, it's
of
not
it.
Like it's, stuff jumping out at you. It's
like
trippy. Like
mess with your head stuff. And in VR, that would be terrible. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
But awesome if that's your thing.
Right.
Not my thing. Not interested. But if that's your thing, you'd probably get into it. And then there is a MOBA called Drop Zone, and we don't really care about MOBAs all that much. But the developer behind it is called Sparky Pants, and I love that.
Yeah!
A developer called Sparky Pants, and so we're going to give them a shout-out just because their name is Sparky Pants. And so, good job, Sparky Pants. And then Arma 3, which Arma has been this big deal for a long time, and I don't know, not my thing.
Don't really
but
play.
But again, one of those things on PC that's a huge deal, and people love it, and so good for them. And then this is maybe the one thing in the PC show that I'm most excited about, a game called the Turing Test.
Yeah.
And it's this very Portal-like first-person puzzle game.
Right.
And it's like, you don't have portals, but you have these cubes, and like you have to solve how to get from room to room with unlocking doors and all this kind of stuff. A very, very Portal vibe to it. And I think it looks super cool. I'm pretty pumped about that one. Of everything I saw, that's maybe the one I most want to play.
Right.
Then we saw Overland, which is this very polygonal, Oregon Trail-ish kind of procedurally generated trek across a post-apocalyptic United States.
Yep.
And make of that what you will. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
And I still don't get it. But there's a trailer at GamingUncensored.com, so go check that out. A game called Dual Universe.
Right.
Which is kind of No Man's Sky-ish.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what the vibe kind of gave off. It's this sci-fi MMO that's very it seems like at least it's going to be very build oriented. You build cities, you build ships, you can customize all this stuff. The big thing they were talking about is it's quote unquote single shot, meaning that it's this huge world that there's no loading, no transitions. Everybody's in the same world at the same time.
And what the guy was talking about, and this is probably why it's going to fail, but it's got an economy. So
yeah,
he's like, if you build stuff that people like, they can buy it, and you know, if it gets popular, then you build more stuff, and I don't get it. I don't know if it's real money. I don't know. But anytime you add in an economy like that, it's like, maybe.
Kind of like No Man's Sky. I don't really know what the purpose is in the game. If it's like, because it kind of got a Minecraft-ish type vibe to it in that it's not really about anything.
It's pretty.
It is awfully pretty.
Yeah.
But it's like building and exploring, which is my understanding of Minecraft, is building and exploring.
Right.
And so it kind of had that thing to it, but pretty, which Minecraft is not. Minecraft is hideous.
Right.
Like, it's...
We love you, Notch, but...
Right. Like, everything... Like, I'm in total awe of that game, even if it's not my thing. But it's hideous. I mean, like, some of its charm is its hideousness, but it's hideous. So... then we saw Halo Wars 2, which was kind of a surprise. Wasn't expecting that. A game that was showcased at the Microsoft press conference, but we got gameplay of it at the PC gaming show, which we didn't get gameplay of Halo Wars in the Microsoft press conference.
I would think you would do that.
I would too.
They didn't.
They didn't. But it looks cool. I mean, it's
I'll tell
RTS
you this,
Halos.
I'll tell you this. I would never play that on the Xbox.
Right.
But yeah. after seeing the gameplay, I'm like, yeah, maybe play that on the PC.
It looks kind of fun. Yeah, I mean, again, it's RTS Halo, but that could be cool. But people liked Halo Wars a lot. So there was Day of Infamy, which is a World War II game. It's kind of stylized, kind of cool looking. There was a game called Mirage, which was like magic and stuff. There was one more game. Oh, Warframe. They ended with some Warframe stuff. Which is free to play that we've seen before at E3, and it's cool, and they're doing some updates with that. And that was the PC gaming show, which was cool and different, and I'm glad they did it.
And there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they did really well of showcasing games and talking to developers and keeping it interesting. So it was a lot like stage demos that we're used to during E3, but quick. So they were all like 5-minute stage demos instead of 45-minute stage demos. And in a lot of ways, I prefer that because there's only a few games that I really care about the nuance that they go into in those longer stage
like,
demos.
There's like two out of, well, three with The Last Guardian. But there's like three out of E3 this year that if you give me an hour-long stage demo, I'm watching all of it.
Right. Otherwise, it's like 10 minutes and I go, okay, I got
next.
You. Right. Let's move on with our lives. So kudos to PC Gamer for putting this on, and I guess to AMD for sponsoring it because there's money involved, obviously. And all these devs, which was cool to see some of these devs that otherwise don't get showcased as much, which I really dug. And so I hope they do it again. I hope it stays kind of a big deal. I feel like E3 has never been about PCs, you know?
No.
Like, E3 is a console-centric event, even though a lot of games that they show off are PC titles or Steam titles or, you know, like, things that you can pick up on a PC. It's always been much more about the big three with Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft and what they're doing. And so it's cool to see that focus. And so, yeah, do it again in the future, PC Gamer. We dug it. We'll be there next year to watch you again.
Absolutely.
And with that, it's time for us to play some games, I think.
Yes.
And drink some hard cider or something that we got sitting there. So we're going to have a good time for the rest of the evening.
I feel bad because she asked us before she left that. Like, you want me to go to the store? Because she knows me.
Right.
She's been around and knows, like, I like some stuff. And I didn't even think.
Yep.
And so, like, 10 minutes goes by, 15, she gets back to the house, and 15 minutes goes by, and I'm like, I walked out and she goes, you want me to go to the store? Yeah. So, got to say thanks to Jane for that.
But yes.
We're going to have fun tonight. And hopefully, we won't have so much fun that we turn the live stream on again. But if we do, maybe we'll be smart enough to record it. And that can be extra content for the Patreon.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, we're so excited about that. Thanks, Cabbage, for hooking us up. You are the first contributor. We appreciate it very much. If you've been listening to this and you enjoy it and you want to know what's going on as far as us, go to GamingUncensored.com because everything is there. Tommy has been getting his webmaster freak on.
That's right.
And he's digging it. So the website is constantly changing, constantly adding stuff. And you definitely need to go by and check that out. Go by the Facebook page as well. We'd like to know what you guys are thinking. We've done four of these and I haven't really heard from anybody other than yay!
Right.
So, we don't know. We may suck. So, go by the Facebook, let us know, talk to us, tell us what's up. You can call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Otherwise, I think that's about it. We will be back tomorrow with yet another show.
3 o'clock.
We're going to play lots and lots and lots of games. 3 o'clock Central Time.
Yes.
We have to tell them. We
yes.
have people
not
from
in
everywhere.
Our time zone.
So, 3 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. We will be at my house, which is much more comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm digging this. I like the office a lot,
yeah.
but this is fun.
Yeah.
You need a more comfortable chair, though.
That's fine. I'm going to move to the more comfortable chair once we get the show done.
All right. So what he's saying is you got to shut up, dude.
Yep.
I'm moving the chair.
My bum's falling asleep.
So did you just say you did? Okay. With all that being said, we are done. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. You're listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2016, and we are out.